How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Let's work on a definition of health. And most doctors would define health as the absence of disease. However, not so. This is the working definition of what they call total health. It is the proper functioning of each member of our body so that we can fulfill God's purposes. In other words, the focus is far beyond just the health issue. It is the reason for health, which is the ability to fulfill God's purpose in your life. This is such great news, that God has a purpose for your life, and His purpose for your life requires that you and I be in health in order to achieve the purpose. So, the proper functioning of each member of my body so that we can fulfill God's purposes. Well, how do we know that God wants us to be healthy? That's a good preliminary question. So let's look at a few of the answers. How we know God wants us healthy. There are a lot of people today who think God wants them sick. May I say here at the beginning that if you lose this theological battle here, you will lose all down the line. If a thought that it is God's will to make people sick is entertained in the human mental processes, the result of that will be misplaced faith. You won't have your faith in a healer. You'll have your faith in a destroyer. Satan will have successfully switched places with God and gotten people to think that God is the one that steals, kills, and destroys. When in fact Jesus said that the thief does that, but I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So how do we know that God wants us healthy? The first reason is His miraculous design for our bodies. And oh, had we time. Oh, I can't. There are two occupations in the world that I am envious of. One is a farmer and the other is a doctor. The farmer, because he's as close to nature's God as one could get. He sees the miracle every spring of the seed bringing forth and growing. He sees the harvest. He knows so many biological, zoological, botanical secrets that few of us know about except to entertain in some kind of an academic fashion. I am envious of the farmer. I'm also envious of the doctor, for he has given great years of his life to explore if I open it up, it talks. So. Hello, statue. Do you remember this happened one Sunday morning? Maybe I better. Hello. It left. Good. Do you know how to turn this thing off? Me neither. Here, baby. One Sunday morning, that thing went off. I was preaching. And so I asked you what I should do, and you said, answer the phone. So I answered the phone. And thank you. And it was a woman calling in to ask for prayer that her husband would not divorce her. Remember that? And that was on Sunday. And on Tuesday, I met with her husband. And still didn't look good. And a week later, she called me up and she said, he has decided to stay home. We're not going to get a divorce. And would you come out and bless us? And so I went out to their house and blessed their house. And so you know, it's tempting to answer the phone. I envy the doctor because he understands the absolute ingenuity of creation. The blood, the heart, that pumps like 36 quarts of blood every minute, which is 300 gallons an hour, which is, you know, 5,000 something gallons a week, which is in the millions of gallons in a year. You know, so many articulate details. How could you not believe in a designer when you look at the design? And so one of the proofs that God wants us healthy is that our bodies are designed to heal themselves, miraculously heal ourselves. Secondly, we know that God wants us healthy because he has made provisions for health, and he's made a number of them. First of all, he's the creator, not the destroyer. He created us, and so he created us to be healthy. In fact, he even provided nourishment, gave specific instructions as to the availability of foods, what foods you should eat and when, and we learned that last Wednesday night. And then God has provided knowledge and ability for our health. Common sense. Problem with common sense today is it's not too common. He has provided medicine and herbs and technologies to increase our health as a provision. And Scripture is clear. Certain herbs are for our medicines to our body. And I remember the word, the line from Hippocrates, the philosopher who said, let food be your medicine, and let your medicine be food. And so God has made provision for medicines. And then he has given health instructions in his word. That proves that he intends us to be healthy. And then he has provided the potential lifespan in Genesis 2:7 of 120 years. It is well within possibilities for us to live 120 years. And then he's provided salvation. What is that about? And salvation is fourfold. It includes not just being wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace upon him, but by his stripes we are healed. Salvation includes healing provision, so that by his stripes we are healed. So we know he wants us healthy for the provisions of health. And then we know he wants us healthy because he has given specific instructions that lead to health. For example, in Proverbs chapter 3, he points out, what shall be health to thy navel? And then we know he wants us healthy because of his description of himself. And we sang it only moments ago. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Yeah, I didn't say I'm the Lord that destroys. I'm not the Lord that makes you sick. His description of himself proves that he wants us healthy. That's his function. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, this is how we know that God wants us healthy. And before we really get going tonight, I'm going to continue the teaching in a moment. I want to take a little excerpt here because I brought for you a test sample, and everybody can get a package after service tonight of this. This is called Electromix. This is our electrolytes, and I'm only interjecting it now here because last week Dr. Billica talked to us about it. So I just want to bring you up to speed. In fact, I got off the phone just about an hour ago to the source. You remember Dr. Billica talked about Dr. McDaniels? Well, I got off the phone talking to his agent just about an hour ago to see about getting a sufficient supply shipped to us of his specific electrolytes and a month's supply, so that you'll all, one of these Tuesday night, Wednesday nights, I'll walk in here and give you a month's supply of Dr. McDaniel's electrolytes. The importance of electrolytes, as you understood from last week, because the teaching was on water and electrolytes and nutrition. And when we talk about the activities of the human body, they take place across this electrical grid, cellular grid. And it is electric currents being transferred from cell to cell. And what happens is the cells is where we need our health. The reason we don't have healthy cells and cells that don't communicate well and the body not function the way it should is because the electronic communication does not occur. Now, if I were to illustrate this, if I took this monitor, you can't see it, but if I had this monitor here and I plugged it into the outlet over here and the wire between the outlet and the monitor was made out of several pieces of rope, a positive piece of rope, a negative piece of rope, and a neutral ground, that monitor will not come on because the electronics, the electrical current that's in the wall cannot be transmitted along a rope. In the cells, it not only requires water, but a mineral content in the cells so that the electronic communication takes place. And that's why we have electrolytes. Electrolytes are essential minerals and trace minerals that are absolutely necessary. Now, the essential minerals are exactly what it says. They are essential. You must have them in your cells in order for the cells to speak to one another, for the communication to take place. This is the beginning. This is a building block of health. And so, if you're not getting it, in fact, they tell us today that most of us are not getting our essential electrolytes, the minerals. They are minerals. Because remember, if I put a copper wire between the wall and the monitor, the monitor's going to come on because the electricity communicates along metal. That's the role of trace minerals and electrolytes at the cellular level in the human body. And so now the heavy metals are, you don't want any of those, by the way, on the bottom list. But the top one are essential, and the trace minerals are very important. So if you're not using electrolytes, now, there's a lot of side benefits to electrolytes. I won't tell you the one that happens in my house. I get leg cramps by, you ever hear Charlie Horse in the middle of the night? I wake up yelling. Isn't that right? Loud. I'm telling you, it is scary. But you know what? She wakes up. And that's the reason you yell. And she thinks the rapture's taking place, I'm sure. Because she sits bolt upright in bed, and sometimes she's even landed on her feet. And she says, yeah, what's wrong? That's the next. Once she realizes it's not the Lord coming, she wants to know what the problem is. And we keep a package of this, and she will go quickly to the bathroom, dump a bit of this powder in a glass of water, hand it to me while the cramps are absolutely killing me. I can't straighten my legs. I can't bend my legs. My legs just won't go, and the pain is excruciating. Inside of 40 seconds, the cramps stop. I don't know all the science behind that, but I'm telling you that electrolytes are a fundamental thing. And last week, Dr. Basilica introduced us to the idea, but did not spend an awful lot of time. I'm just picking up from last week. So after service tonight, y'all grab a package, try it out, and the real stuff is on the way. Well, it's not on the way yet, but we're made arrangements. It's gonna I was a little surprised at the price. I thought it was going to cost me $2 a person to give you a month's supply. It's going to cost me $10 a person. And guess what? We're going to do it anyhow. And so everybody here on one of these Wednesday nights is going to get a month's supply of Dr. McDaniel's electrolytes that is specially formulated, scientifically done in his own laboratory. And the scientists that that Dr. Billica referred to in endearing terms last week. One more thing about last week before we start into this week. This diagram, now I took it out of the notes so you would have it. Everybody got the sheet? Everybody got the sheet from last week? If you were here last week, you'll understand that you didn't get the sheet. Do we have the sheet? Oh, no, I want a one for me, but because I need to copy it into my computer, which that is. Okay, before you leave here tonight, you'll get a copy of these two diagrams that Dr. Billica gives in his notes. And really quick, because he did it as good as can be done. just take a look at the diagram for a moment. Over here, you have a genetic code, a genetic blueprint. And you remember the illustration, he said this was like a blueprint. This is like the plans for building a house. The problem is that from the blueprint at this level, it's got to go through the builder and it has to go through the guys on the ground and use the materials. And by the time it gets over here, the blueprint was really nice, but the end product is disgusting. I mean, it's a poorly built house. There's nothing wrong with the blueprint. It's just that the process following up on the blueprint was not properly done. So it is with our genetic code. Our health, everything is absolutely perfected over here. But if these processes are not in place, then what happens is you end up with a sick house. Whereas, if these processes are working properly, you got the genetic code here, and the processes are working right, you will have health. Now, this is kind of important. The reason this is so critically important in understanding health is because some people think the reason they're sick is there's something wrong with the blueprint. There's something wrong with the genetic code. And if you believe that, then you throw up your hands in despair because everything's been determined for you. The fact of it is that we get to affect these processes here. And essentially, what Dr. Billica is telling us is that the main way you affect the processes is with nutrition. In fact, what we're going to do right now is a quick review of the things that he said, 11 different things from the Bible, that affect this process. So if these processes are working properly, then you will always have health. So you can do something about your health. You can do something about the outcome because you can influence the process here. You cannot change the genetic code. It's in every cell of your body. It's a blueprint. Nothing wrong with the blueprint, but the workers and what we do with the blueprint determines the outcome, either health or illness. And so that's why we began last week. I forgot this was in here, but let's do that. Four reasons why God wants us healthy. First of all, because he loves and cares for us. Everybody knows that. He wants us healthy. Love is like that. I mean, imagine the belief that God, a loving God, would want people sick. Imagine that a parent who would try to put sickness and disease on his child, not even as a form of discipline. Secondly, he created us in his image, and we would not be in the image of God when we're weak and sickly. And so that's another proof that he wants us healthy. Thirdly, he has created us to accomplish a purpose, and that's what we mentioned earlier. And in order to do that, it requires health. So he wants us health to accomplish a purpose. And so he has given us the design and the provisions sufficient for us to experience the wellness and the performance that's necessary to achieve our purpose in life. And so what an exciting thing is to understand your purpose. Well, then the question comes, why are we sick if this is true? And so there are some reasons as to why mankind is sick. And I think he alluded to these last week. Do you recollect? No? You don't remember them? We live in a fallen world. Now, it's interesting that God said, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow you'll eat of it all the days of your life. The sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. So you return to the ground out of which you were taken. For dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. So after the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden, this is part of why sickness occurred. Prior to that, there was no such thing as sickness. And so the second reason is that people are destroyed for ignorance and lack of knowledge. We don't know why we're sick. And I have to plead guilty to this one for years. My wife keeps saying, you must have skipped health class or something. Because I didn't understand vitamins and nutrition and minerals and all that stuff. And she talks about it like I should understand it. And for this reason, if we do not apply ourselves in this area, lack of knowledge, and it could be because we reject the knowledge. That's the reason why we lack knowledge. Not because it's not available. We just don't go there, don't do it. That's why many of us are sick, is because we don't understand the cause and effect relationships. Ignorance and lack of knowledge. Then thirdly, apathy or disobedience. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. And of course, that's referring to your body. And so this is really sad. It's like the fellow who said, we've got two problems in the world. One is ignorance and the other is apathy. What do you think? And the guy says, I don't know and I don't care. This is indeed another lack of discipline in our lives, apathetic to our health. And let me just suggest to you that, you know, one of the reasons why we get apathetic towards our health is because we lose focus of our purpose in life. If you have got a purpose and a goal set before you, I mean, it helps apathy. I mean, you got a reason for living, a reason for getting up in the morning, a reason for your health. So this causes sickness. And then exposure to toxins and contaminants. And the scriptures tell us that we are to make a difference between the clean and the unclean and the clean. And so today we are destroyed, we are sick, because of exposure to toxins and contaminants, and we'll talk about that in a moment. So here are the 11 biblical health principles that we have learned, and I'm giving this to you in fast repetition so that you can learn. Let's go see where we're going to pick up on it tonight. First of all, the first principle is that I'm responsible for my health. This is a question of stewardship. Second health principle is the need for proper, balanced nutrition. And we receive some of that instruction, and I'm really hoping Dr. Shirley will help us with that on one of these Wednesday nights. Exercise and productive activity. Another basic principle. If you don't use it, you lose it. And exercise essential to being an actively productive life. And then healthy, fresh air, which is the one we're going to talk about tonight. And then number five, plenty of pure, clean water. And this is the one that Dr. Basilica taught on clean water last week. And then appropriate rest. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And so God has designed rest periods. And during those rest periods, we need to get rest and not fill him up with distressing events. And then adequate sunshine, and I think he mentioned this one, the vitamin D issue. But not just that, but most of us have started to live in houses all the time. We go from the house to the garage to the car to the job, and we're never outside. Man was not made to live indoors all the time, so a lack of sunshine is a health issue. And then avoidance of toxic substances. And so we're going to talk about the fresh air thing tonight and a little bit about avoiding toxic substances. And then a proper humor, attitude, and disposition. And I tell you, remember the scripture? A merry heart does good like medicine. And so you can be You ever met somebody who's just never happy? You could call them, nickname them Old Briny. I mean, they always look sour. They always look sad. They always look aggravated. It absorbs energy just to be around them. Well, that affects health. And so the positive mental attitude is an essential, and God has the best attitudes for us. That's why we have the Beatitudes. The attitudes should that be in Matthew chapter 5. And then every person was designed to be a growing, thinking, developing person. And that produces health. And said, we were never meant to be inert, stalemated. Never meant to sit around and do nothing. And that's the tragedy, I think, of this generation, the couch potato kind of a concept. But we're made to think and grow and develop and mature and investigate and explore and study and research and think and contemplate and engage one another. And this is a part of being a healthy person. And then lastly, a spirit of thankfulness. Thanks, being a thanksgiver and being thankful is a health issue. In fact, the opposite to forgiveness is bitterness. And the scripture says, by bitterness, many are defiled. And so all of these are health principles. And last week, we learned about the clean water. And what was the other one? And nutrition. And we started into those two last week. So tonight, we're going to spend a few moments on healthy fresh air. And let's take a look at scriptures first. The Lord formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And so every human being requires this inhalation, the breath of life. It's what keeps life happening. You become a living soul. And if you stop breathing, and so the air is very fundamentally important to our health. It's interesting that in the book of Revelation, we see that the skies are going to be polluted in the last days. That in fact, in this story, there smoke came out of the pit. The smoke as of a great furnace. The sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke from the pit. Well, my goodness, you just have to watch the news, see what's going on in Texas and the West Coast right now in terms of how much smoke is, what's happening to the atmosphere. And so it is very related to health, what you breathe. And there is a number of reasons why it is important. And we live in this day of increasingly toxic environment. And in fact, here's a couple of 1987, is all the statistics I could find. 1987, 550 million pounds of industrial chemicals are dumped into the public sewage system every year. 550 million pounds. 188 million pounds of chemicals are discharged right into surface waters, just in the rivers, into the lakes, into the ocean. And that in fact, 2 billion 400 million pounds of air emissions are dumped into the atmosphere every single year. So the breathing of clean air didn't used to be a very big issue, because everywhere you went, there was clean air. But the contamination and the increased toxicity of our day is creating many of these problems. Now, let me show you a couple of examples of toxins. First of all, there are pesticides and herbicides. That's why almost every vegetable that you buy at the store should be soaked for 5 to 20 minutes, depending on the kind of vegetable it is, in vinegar and water until it destroys the pesticides and the herbicides. Then we have industrial chemicals all around us, and not only around us, but we bring them into our cosmetic counters. We bring them into our bathrooms. We spray aerosols. We have all kinds of toxins being emitted. And then even within the household, all kinds of chemicals, whether it be the treating of the kind of soaps we use in our fabrics, or the fabric softeners, or whatever, It has toxins in it. And then there's combustion fumes. That's the fumes in the exhaust from auto emission and from all the engines that run, and we run a lot of engines. Then there's toxics put into our food. The Food and Drug Administration lists over 10,000 food additives that the doctors and the chemists consider to be toxic. 10,000 different approved toxins going into our food. And then, of course, alcohol and tobacco. We don't need to talk much about that. Drugs is a toxin. Almost all drugs you put into your body, even for medicinal reasons, have side effects and contaminations that affect the liver, kidneys, other parts of the body. So the use of drugs needs to be questioned. And then, of course, presence of germs. And then lastly, this is a new kind of toxin, but becoming very, very real. There was a scare a few years ago about using cell phones because of the electronic signal near your head causing problems. And we still don't know the answer to that one yet. But electromagnetic radiation affects our bodies. That's why don't buy a house near high power wires. The more we are so exposed to electronic bombardment from all our gizmos and all of our gadgets. And in fact, microwave ovens, be careful with them. Some television tubes emit radiation. And so all of these are categories of toxins. Now, what's interesting today is that the hazards in our air are both outside and inside. In fact, if you were going to choose the worst one, it's indoor living that is the major culprit. But here are some of the hazards that just float around in the air. Pollen and dust and smoke, animal dander. I really question, I get in trouble for this, it's an emotional question. I really question the close proximity of pets, how close they should be in terms of health. And dust mites and mold is a major issue. And of course, these are air hazards. That means they are transmitted through the air, so that when you inhale, you bring these into your body, and unfiltered, unchecked, uncompensated for, can produce long-term illnesses and some very severe ones. And then, of course, we have viruses and bacteria. And so these are our problems with our air. And, of course, everybody knows about asbestos. But we have just lost track of clean air. So the air hazards lead to negative health implications. And here are some of them. Asthma and allergies. And by the way, this diagram is right out of Dr. Belica's notes. And so I'm really just kind of regurgitating his. I hope it doesn't seem like regurgitation, but... And infections, respiratory diseases. This is a severe issue, is that these air hazards affect our immune systems and depress them so that they don't function, for the body was meant to heal itself. One of the things I really appreciated about the Total Health Institute and Mr. Cothard's the Institute in Basic Life Principles is their commitment to dealing with the problem, which is the body and not the disease. Most medical people are focused on the disease and treat the disease. And these people, including Dr. Belica, was absolutely convinced that if you treat the body properly, if you cure the blood will fix the body. Scripture says the life is in the blood. So their focus is on the blood, because if we can fix the blood, if we can keep the contaminations out of the blood, then the blood will heal whatever, and this, of course, is part of the immune system. Now, there are certain symptoms associated with indoor air pollution, asthma again, and allergies. But there's more. A lot of eye, nose, and throat irritations are caused by transmitted air pollutions. Fatigue, loss of energy. And again, remember, when you're in a house, you are in a bottle, you're in a contained, sealed box. And of course, the problem is that if we don't take the steps to assure the quality of the air in our homes and its turnover, then some of these things creep up and we don't even know why we have the problem. Headaches, of course, are caused nervous system disorders. respiratory congestion, I'll mention that in a moment because I've had to deal with a lot of sinus congestion. All these respiratory specific and headaches and so on are high on the probability list of being caused by toxins that are being communicated or transmitted rather through the air. Well, what are the solutions to this? And with this, I'm going to close on the healthy air tonight. What are the solutions to the healthy air? How do we fix the healthy air problem? And so the first one is to keep the house clean. Keep the house clear of toxins. Even innocent-looking bottles and aerosols need to be suspect. And ladies, go outside and spray your hair. And keep the house clean. You know, it was John Wesley that said cleanliness is next to godliness. And I think, really, it's a part of godliness. So, keeping the house clean. And because whatever settles dirt-wise in the house, contaminant, toxins, just get moved around from room to room. But when the air conditioner comes on, or when the fan, or when the wind blows, or when you walk by, it was startling to me, about 6 months ago, one of the men who frequents our church by times started a new business. He bought a $70,000 camera, and he came to my house to try it out because I have a leak in my house, and he takes pictures of the house. In fact, he's taken pictures of the church building. And this camera, anybody help me with the name of it? I don't think it's infrared. It's related to infrared, but it reads, what it takes a picture of is it takes a picture of moisture. So it's a thermal. A thermal infrared, I think is what he calls it. So what happens is he would take the camera and aim it up in the corner of my bedroom, and lo and behold, the picture on the screen was shocking to me. Well, this is kind of novel. I said, well, let's play with this camera a little bit. And so I walked across the room and walked back, and he took the camera and aimed it at the carpet where I was walking, where I had walked. You could see my footprint as clear as if somebody had painted it on the carpet. Went into my office, and it was kind of a startling thing because he shot at my bookshelf, and that showed there was water in my bookshelf. I don't know, there's no water in my bookshelf. But this thing, and so what he does, he goes around to buildings now, because you know how hard it is to have a home that doesn't leak? I mean, water gets in one way or another. And of course, when the water gets in, the mold gets in, the mildew gets in. And guess what happens after that? The mold spores get in the air. We breathe them. We go in ignorance for decades about that. And then we wonder why we have cancer, why we have certain disease, when in fact is that the environment in which we spend most of our time, at least 8 hours sleeping and a number of other hours with the family and entertainment and eating and whatever we do, we spend literally major parts of our time in the confinement of our homes. So health control is going to require control of our houses, and especially the air. When I visited a couple of shops here in town because I was concerned about carbon monoxide. I have a little machine that measures carbon monoxide. You probably have one in your home. But this is the gauge. In fact, I have another little, I'm telling you about my gizmos, right? I have another little gizmo, and you can borrow it anytime you want. I have a little gizmo that sniffs gas. And we woke up in the middle of the night with our alarm going off, the smoke alarm going off. Couldn't figure out what was going on. There was no smoke. And this little machine, you turn it on, and it has a long snout, and it goes around. You just poke it anywhere you want to, and it sniffs. It smells. Any hydrocarbon that exists is detected. So we have this wonderful stove that we've had for 2 years and finally used last week. And it worked really good. My wife cooked. I'm telling you what, I ate like a king last week. The dressing, and it's all gone as of last night. But we finally used it. But you can sniff around any of the gas things and see if there's any leak. You can sniff your car, automobile, garage. We need to check out. And I'm saying to you that if any of you has any reason to suspect that there's propane or natural gas or anything in around your house, you need to check and make sure, because health is at stake. Keeping the clean house isn't just vacuuming once a week. It isn't just dusting once in a while. All the stuff we bring in, the skin that flakes off, the dirt we carry in on our shoes, it's all in there and in the mix of life. And when the air conditioners comes on or the heater comes on, the blowers come on, that stuff is spreading around and it's air contamination. So keeping our house clean has a lot more to do than just dusting once in a while or vacuuming the floor. So keeping the house clean means keeping the air clean. Well, how do you do that? Well, the highest form of keeping clean air was designed by God. In fact, they recommend that you should have 2 live plants for every 100 square feet of your house. Because, now think about it. When I first met my wife, she was already an interior designer. And in our discussions about the things of God, I was asking her about interior design. And she said, I have a couple of basic concepts. So I'm about to give you one of her trade secrets. Are you ready? She said, I believe that God designed man to live in a garden. So every home I design has the aspect of garden somewhere, if not spread throughout the whole place. Why is the garden important? Because the plants actually cleanse the air. In fact, there's a book on the market recommended by Dr. Velika. It's called How to Grow Fresh Air. And this book actually lists from scientific observation and scrutiny what the best plants are, the most fresh air producing plants are that you could put in your house. And it will clean your house. Does anybody know how to do anything better than God? I suggest to you that it is no small coincidence that plants are related to clean air. And so clean air in your house is going to be related to plant life. And I know it's a nuisance. In fact, I know, we've had these discussions at my house. I told her in my days of ignorance, which were not too long ago, if you're going to have plants in this house, you're looking after them. And I abdicated the job. I had no idea what I was saying. I was so ignorant. So foolish. She would, you know, well, she gets foolish too. Don't kid yourself. She talks to the plants. That foolish. Who does that? You all do that? Oh, dear. Do any of you guys do that? Mike says he fussed at the weeds. I guess that's talking to him. That's good. You did say fussed, didn't you? Yep. And how tragic. So due to pressure, a couple of months ago, my wife's schedule, That was before we learned how to dehectify, remember? We started moving the live plants out and putting artificial ones in. Because they make some artificial ones that look just as good. Now, you're an interior designer. All it's got to do is look good. You're happy, right? Low maintenance. Little did I know the trade-off. And now I repent. I hate to say this next sentence. I'm willing to do some of the time to look after the plants. What are you all yakking about out there? God, <they're laughs> oh, dear. Plants. I guess maybe, you know, what's the old German adage? Too soon, old, too late, smart. You know, why didn't I? Listen, some of you young men here tonight, young ladies here tonight, or teenagers, and some of you less than that. Learn from this instruction. An addiction is short. Immediate gratification, long-term devastation. I want you to catch that. Immediate gratification, long-term devastation. You are affecting your health today. If you're 15 years old, you are affecting your health that you will have when you're 60. You're affecting it today. I didn't learn that. I didn't know that. It's like one guy said, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself. So, plants cleanse the home. God's method. And then, there are air filters and purifiers. And there's some controversy around this, and so I'm going to talk a bit about the controversy. As you know, last year, I spent, too many days in the hospital with lung condition. I had pleurisy and pneumonia. and for the last 7 or 8 years, we have had air filters in our home. The problem is they are ozone generators. And I love ozone. Ozone has its proper place. But it's not when you're in the room. I made it a point when I was at the Institute up there to ask about ozone. Because ozone naturally occurs in creation. The smell after a rainfall and a lightning storm. It's ozone. And so I asked the doctor. I said, so we're into air filters. I'm in for that. But what about ozone? And he said, you don't turn the ozone on if you're in the room. Turn it on when you leave the house, and it will cleanse, it will kill bacteria and all kinds of stuff. But when you come back into the house again, turn it off immediately. Turn your fan on and your air conditioner and blow the air out. Don't breathe the ozone. Now, if you go to the internet and check out what it says about ozone, if you check a scientific document, you'll find the information I just gave you to be scientifically verified. If you check the websites of those people who manufacture ozone generators and air filters, they'll tell you a different story because, guess what? They're selling. Remember, the love of money is the root. So you got to be careful about this air purifier and filter. So Dr. Billica suggests three things. You should have a pre-filter designed to capture dust, to get the particles hard, you know, and change that filter often. And don't kid yourself about the the flimsy little 3/4-inch filter in front of your air conditioner duct. Just take it down, look through it. See how much stuff could pass through that filter. It does not stop the dust. So you need to, if you're going to use a filter, you want something that will stop the dirt, catch the dirt, and not allow it to pass on through. Now, of course, if you do this, there's two benefits of this. Number one, you will see when you go to change the filter what you just took out of the air and took out of your lungs, because it will all be black and clogged right there for you to see. The second thing is that you will have to change that filter often. But a pre-filter to capture dust. And then a replaceable filter, particulate. That means it is much finer and able to process micro-contamination. And they come in different abilities. You can read the specifications on them. But there are all kinds of toxins other than dust and animal dander, etc., that need to be taken out of the air. And so a replaceable particulate filter. And then lastly, a carbon filter for odors. Carbon filter, and of course, if you understand the drinking water situation, good water filtration, now we're not talking here about reverse osmosis or what do you call it? Evaporate, what do you call it? But distilled water, yeah, thank you. And by the way, I asked the doctor what kind of water, Dr. Vasilik, what kind of water do you drink? And what kind of water do the astronauts drink? And it was distilled or reverse osmosis. And he argues the case that people tell us, well, if you take the minerals out of the water by reverse osmosis, then we won't get our minerals. And, of course, the medical answer to that is simple. It's the wrong kind of minerals anyhow. You just take your, I don't know if you have a teapot. Have you ever looked inside the teapot to see what's in there? Take a knife and dig down in there and you'll scrape off hunks of stuff. That's what's in your drinking water. That God didn't design us to get our minerals from the water. He designed us to get the minerals from the vegetables. And so the minerals that come from vegetables can be absorbed by the cells and used energetically in the body and assimilated, whereas hard rocks just don't. So there's two kinds. If you go on the filter side, though, and we use a carbon filter. first of all, we have... If the real filters, I don't know, remember back when Y2K was upon us and we were buying filters. And the best filters that we were able to find in the world were made in Sweden. They were used by the Red Cross in a lot of third world countries. And and usually you either bought a carbon filter or you bought a ceramic filter. The ceramic filter is like a particulate filter. In other words, the water goes through it and it takes out the particles. But that does not take out gases, does not take out chemicals. Carbon, however, takes out the chemicals. So it's a twofold thing. And what we've got here in the air thing is not only in these three filtering processes here, not only taking out the particles, but we're now taking out the chemicals that are in the air as well. So, healthy air, designed by God, breath of life. Be careful what you breathe. And use house, and then if you're going to use filters, One of the things that my wife likes to do, and which I have again recently admitted, she's right. Tonight, you need to buy this tape. I forgot what she was right about. Well, there's only two things I can remember. So, one was plants. We have a motor coach. And one of the things she wants is the windows open. I'm an air conditioner guy. I told you I'm a Canadian by birth, an American by the grace of God, a Southerner by choice. And I think Florida boys should live inside air conditioners. Until recently. What my wife likes to do is turn the air conditioner off and let the air flow through the house from outside, off the ocean in one side, out the other. And I have to tell you that when that occurs in her house, which isn't near often enough, but when it occurs, the breath you breathe, the distinction is noticeable. I mean, you can feel the difference. The freshness, the cleanliness of the air. So maybe what we ought to do is turn off our air conditioners more often. And let God's rejuvenated by plant life air flow through our home. It is amazing how all of these things, whether it be the clean water, the nutrition, or clean air, or exposure to sunlight, all these 11 items all work together to develop what we call a synergism. And they impact one another. And just cleaning up the air can cure all kinds of illnesses that we tolerate and only can tolerate because we add chemicals to mask the symptoms. But health has to do with clean air. Amen. I'm done. And I really wish Dr. Basilica had been here himself. And so do you. For at least one for each family, we may have more. I don't know how many we have of these, but no cover page on this. No, the front page didn't get done of this. Okay. This is a section of teaching notes right out of Dr. Basilica's instruction manual. And this has to do with a continuation of what he started last week, but a short video. But this is all about nutrition and what supplements and whether you should use supplements, how you should use supplements. And one of the things I really like about him, and you know, I told you I'd do it, and I haven't done it yet, but I will do it for next Wednesday night. I will put Dr. Basilica's web address up for you. I'll give it to you. he has a group of doctors that work with him. And what they do is they have laboratories and they do their own testing, even on commercial products that are available in the stores. And they test vitamins, minerals, and everything you can imagine. And they're the kind of people that I think are going to tell us the truth. If you heard Rush today, Rush was in a mood today. You know, last night about the miners, a news report said that they had all been found alive except one. And most of us went to bed. I almost woke my wife up to tell her that the miners were okay. And this morning, the facts are that only one survived. And so Rush was on his high horse today about news reporting has lost its intention. It was supposed to be a communication of fact and substance and integrity, and now it's being used to promote an agenda. And I didn't hear a lot of them, but I heard enough of them to know problem that we have in medicines and in the homeopathic industry is we have no testing. So anybody can produce a product and put the word natural on it. Let me quote Dr. Basilica. He says, when you receive the word natural on any product, it does not mean a thing. So that's the problem we've got. And probably all of us have bought some of this and bought some of that and tried this, you know, tried a bunch of stuff. And I think that we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need to find out facts and commit ourselves to the kind of vitamins that are really got nutrition in them, kind of food that has nutrition in it, and not be the victim of salesmanship or manipulation, even at government levels. The Food and Drug Administration has a law, a rule, regarding selling distilled water. And this is the rule. If 10% of the water in your gallon jug is distilled, you can market it as distilled water. I say that's wrong. I think that's wrong. So we don't have standards. And I don't know about you. I've been around a long time. I've never seen so many medical clinics, hospitals, springing up all over the place, every corner. And it's because we Americans are sicker than we've ever been before. And so it is our bounden duty as stewards of the bodies that the Lord has given us to apply ourselves. And I know this isn't easy. I don't want to do it. I'd rather just go with the flow. You know, whether it's slothfulness, what it is, but we cannot afford to put our head in the sand. We really need to do diligence about our health, because your health affects your purpose. The ability to achieve your purpose and the achieving of your purpose affects eternity. So, tonight, consider our air, healthy air, clean, healthy air. And next week, we'll probably, maybe we'll cover the alkaline acid issue. And so next week I will bring you all a test strip, litmus paper. And I was wrong in my quoting of it last time. You're going to have to take it, and it needs to be tested not with saliva but with urine. But the color of the litmus paper will show you clearly whether your body is alkaline or whether it is acidic. So I'm going to give you each litmus paper that you can take home with you next week and test yourself. The truth of it is that alkaline testing needs to be done 2 or 3 times a day for a given length of time during a pattern of eating, because it can go up and down very quickly. You can turn from acidic to, and you'll be surprised at what will keep your body alkaline. The fact of it is, the scientific fact of it is that cancer cannot survive in alkaline. And so, but, you know, I just thought, oh, well, my body must be all right. Wrong. And foods I eat directly relate to the chemistry of the blood and of the body. So, that's what we'll do next week. And you'll get to go home and test yourself at least once, maybe twice, depends how much litmus paper I can get. And we'll learn more. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's just bow for one moment. I want to thank you, Father, because I believe with all my heart that I am standing for some of the most important people in the whole world. There are people in whom you live. And that makes them so valuable. God, I've asked you before, and I ask you again, so this people knows repentance of my heart, how wrong I have been as a steward of this body. I ask you forgiveness. And I do commit, Lord Jesus, to present my body every day to you in a new and fresh way, and to do diligence in this business of stewardship. care of my body. So that the remaining years I can achieve purposes that matter. And I pray that blessing upon this people, that we be a people who diligent to our health, because it really is doing diligence to our God. In thy name, Lord Jesus, I pray.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.